Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The thoughts that we have before us in this text for this last Sunday of the church year are some very moving thoughts indeed, because they deal with the end of things. Many people are interested in end of things, and especially as we get older, our interest in the end of things perhaps grows more intense, more personal. What is of special personal interest to us, of course, is the end of our own lives. I often wonder how I will feel as the end of my own life approaches. I'd like to think that in those last moments of my life, I will face that time bravely and confidently, and that my words and the words of those around me will be filled with great wisdom and courage. But it's impossible for us to know exactly how we will feel when we are face to face with that final enemy of death. That's why the words of this text before us today are so comforting for us. Referring to Jesus, the Apostle Paul writes, "He must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Death is the last enemy to be done away with." Ah, yes, the last enemy. What an enemy that is. Death entered the world when sin entered the world. And death has been rooting up and pulling down and destroying things ever since it came into the world. Death tears into pieces the great handiwork of God in God's creation. Even the human body, which was so marvelously designed by God's wise and loving hand, is finally destroyed by death. Death makes everything ugly, no matter how beautiful it is. Death has intruded into everything that we call dear. Death has spoiled all of life. Death is not part of the great shepherd's flock, but rather death is like that wolf that comes to kill and to destroy the flock. Death has no mercy. The tears of the bereaved, the wailing and the moaning and of those who are mourning the death of a loved one, those sounds are the victory song of death. Death does not care that we weep when it appears. When death takes a friend or loved one from our side or takes a child from our home, it does not care how much we cry. Death has no pity for the young, and it has no mercy for the old. It pays no attention to whether something is good or beautiful. It goes into our gardens and cuts down the sweetest flowers as well as the weeds. What an enemy death is. Even our prayers seem to have no effect on death. We might plead for the life of a loved one, for that life to be spared. We beg death to leave us be. We try to hold it back with our cries, but it comes anyway with relentless terror. It is a ruthless enemy. It just keeps coming, coldly, mercilessly. For these and many other reasons, I'm so glad that our Savior came to destroy that enemy, death. Again, as our reading says, Jesus must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Death is the last enemy to be done away with. It is true that Jesus has not yet destroyed death completely, but it is nearly done for Jesus' people. Jesus has so subdued and subjected death that people hardly need to fear it anymore. Of course, we still must die physically, because as God says in his word, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But although death still has dominion over our mortal bodies, our living Redeemer has so changed the face of death that it is no longer a fierce enemy for us, but rather it is something other than what it appears to be. Death appears to be the end of life, but actually now, through Jesus, death is only asleep. It is actually only the transition from life on this earth to eternal life in heaven. Death is now a completely different thing for the people of God. The people of God discover that dying is so different from what they expected. They expected death to strike them with a sword thrust, but they discover that death is actually only like a pinprick. The way that the gospel writers in the Bible describe that first Easter morning is really very interesting. There was so much confusion among the women who visited the tomb that early that Easter morning, and then the disciples when they told them the news. But at the tomb, there was actually a very relaxed atmosphere. When Mary Magdalene was weeping in the garden outside the tomb, thinking that someone had taken away the body of her Lord, suddenly someone appeared to her and spoke softly to her. And when that someone spoke her name, she recognized that it was Jesus. And then he left. It was such a quiet thing. When Peter and John later came and looked into the tomb, they saw the grave cloths and the head covering neatly folded up and tucked out of the way on one side. It was all so calm and relaxed. Everything was done so neatly and unhurriedly. And then when Peter and John came out of the tomb, they saw that an angel was sitting there on the stone that had been rolled away from the tomb. I love that detail. The angel was just sitting there and then struck up a conversation with them, as if he was surprised that they didn't already understand everything that was going on and everything that was happening. The angel basically was asking them, "What's the problem? Didn't Jesus tell you that he would rise from the dead? He is not here. He is risen just as he told you. Come on, relax. What's the problem? He is risen." That is what death has become to us now. Just a sleep from which we will awaken to endless and eternal joy. The enemy has been subjected to Jesus, who is our victorious King. Death has been reduced to helplessness. Death can no longer harm us. And finally, we look at one other aspect of the text before us today. Paul says that death is the last enemy to be destroyed. In God's working in this world through Christ, all the enemies of God and man will go first, and then death will be the last enemy. Notice that God does not tell us that death is the worst enemy. Death is simply only the last enemy to be destroyed. There are worse enemies than death. There is sin, which is a much greater enemy than death, because sin separates us from God. There is Satan, who is a fierce spiritual enemy who is only interested in seeing us spend eternity in hell as he drags us away from faith in Jesus. Therefore, since death is to be the last of the enemies, let it be the last. Don't get the order of things confused. Don't worry about death before you need to worry about it. Don't try to receive the grace to die before you need that grace. Ask for grace to live while you live. And then when death is on the doorstep for you, then ask for the grace to die. You don't need a boat until you get to the river. Ask for the grace to live. Ask for the grace to glorify God with your life, and then you will have dying grace when it is your time of dying. Your last enemy is going to be destroyed, but not today. There are a great number of other enemies to be fought today, but not death, at least perhaps not for most of us. So be content to let this last enemy go for a while. God will then help you to overcome this last enemy when your time comes. But meanwhile, seek God's grace to overcome the world, to overcome your sinful nature, and to overcome the devil and his temptations today. If you live well by God's grace, you will die well. It's extremely practical for us to let death be the last enemy. Have you ever wondered what life would be like without death? I imagine that life might actually be kind of boring and monotonous, especially after sin entered the world. None of us would try very hard to make something of ourselves, nor would we probably make a very hard effort to please God if it wasn't for the reality of death. The thought of death stimulates us to search for meaning in this life, and when we have found it, when we have found the meaning of life in the gospel of Jesus, then we devote our lives to God and to his service. We know our weaknesses, and we know that we're not going to be around long. We're not going to be around on this earth forever. And so we try so much harder to do the things that we might never do if we knew that we would simply be here forever. When we die with the assurance that everything that God has said to us in love will all be done for us. We die in faith that God will take us with him into the eternal bliss of heaven. There's a story in ancient Greek mythology that resonates with this reading before us today. One of the stories about the hero Ulysses, how Ulysses returned home from one of his adventures to find that the entire nation was in mourning. When he asked why all the people were mourning, he was told, "Haven't you heard? Our queen is dead." When he hurried to the palace, he found out that this was true. The lovely queen who was adored by her people was dead. She who was the heart of the nation was gone. And so Ulysses then went on his most perilous adventure. He went out to the lonely tomb, and he fought one-on-one with death for the life of the queen. He snatched the queen from the clutches of death and took her back to the palace in his arms, handing her to the king alive. Now, of course, there was never really any hope that this story was true. But the Bible's record of the victory of Jesus over death is true. Our King, Jesus, who went to that lonely grave and fought with death, conquered death for us. And as he stood outside of his own tomb, victorious, he says to us, "I am alive, and because I live, you also will live." What the ancient Greeks could only wish for in their mythology, we know is true for us, because Jesus has given us proof of his victory. Our Savior and King, Jesus the Christ, has conquered that last enemy of death, and he has given us life forever.